Blog Talk Radio. I am great, not because someone told me, but because I believe. I believe in my abilities to achieve the impossible. I am strong beyond measure. I am smart without a doubt. High I will aim. Shout loudly I proclaim that I am great. I am great from my inner core. Deeply I believe that no obstacle is too large, too much to overcome. I am a conqueror. Opposition I will slay. For this is the day I say that I am great. I am great. I know who I am. I stand tall and erect. Nothing intimidates me. From the moment I begin, I win. I am defined by greatness and nothing less. My only option is success. Action proves it best. That I am great. Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Make It Great Show with your host, Phenicia Hubbard, and co-host, Beverly Rogers and Candace Cole. This is the Common Sense Connection, where we discuss topics that expand your mind and challenge you to rethink and resurrect common sense. For a listing of upcoming guests and topics, visit Phenicia.com.
All right. Hello and happy Sunday. Yes, you can make it a great day every day. Welcome to another edition of the Common Sense Connection on the Make It Great Show, where every Sunday we come together to offer you food for your mind and fuel for your soul. And when we come together, we talk about a topic around personal growth and development. And I'm excited to introduce you to this Sunday. We are approaching a new structure where every Sunday we have a theme. So the second Sunday of each month, our theme is going to be career. So for those of you listening in, you want to get your career questions together. We've got several guests logged in. I want to let you know you can chat with us live at blogtalkradio.com/makeitgreat. You can also call in at 347-327-9281. We're going to spend the first half of the show talking about our topic, and then during the second half, we're going to open up the call to all of our guests so that we can hear from you. I'm Phenicia Hubbard, your Make It Great coach, and I'm so glad to be with you all this Sunday, and I've got my sister friends on the line with me.
Hi, this is Bev Rogers, and I'm the question coach.
And this is Candace Cole, and I'm playing in the light, and we're really, really glad that you're here with us tonight.
Fantastic. Ladies, are you excited about our new theme? This is our 13th show. How about that?
Very excited.
Yes, and that's a good number.
It is a good number. Did everybody have a good week?
The week was good. Yeah, it was a good week. Winding down, you know, as you know, with the holidays and going into the new year, but it was a good productive week.
I would say I had a good week because I always say I have a good week. I was watching, I think it was Reverend Jakes one day, and he was saying that whatever you focus on, whatever you give your attention to is what you will get more of. So I've decided that I am going to focus on the positive things that happened last week and not deal in whatever was negative so that I get more of those good things.
I love that, Beth. So you're choosing to make it great. You're choosing to have a positive focus. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I know that we start off every show with a question from you. And for those of you listening in, our show is unedited, unscripted, and uncut. So we are just ready to roll. And Bev is our question coach. She always starts us off with a question. So, Bev, what do you have for us this week?
Well, I will tell you that when we decided on this new structure and the topic for tonight is career, most of us think of career as business, our profession, or our specialty, or our field. I want to ask the question, before you even think about going into a business or specialty or field, Roger's thesaurus says that career also is a course of life or a pilgrimage. So tell me, what is your course of life? And have you ever thought about it? When you're talking about your specialty or your field, it has to come from somewhere, from that foundation, from what you value. Otherwise, you're only going into a career, a business, for money or because someone chose it for you. So let's look at what is your pilgrimage? Let's look at career from, you know, beginning. What is your course of life, your destiny, your purpose that's going to take you into what you think you will be doing for the rest of your life?
I like that perspective of the definition, Bev, because, you know, it's interesting. We picked the theme career. You know, we didn't say employment. We didn't say job. We didn't say work. We clearly said career, and I think there is a distinction between those because when you have a career, you tend to think of a career path. It's sort of like a progression or a journey, a sequence of things that are leading you towards something that you ultimately want or things that continuously complement the work that you want to end up doing. I don't know. That's how that resonates with me. What about you, Candace?
Yeah, I like I really love the idea of it being a journey because, like you said, Phanisha, like it's as opposed to just employment or this is the work I'm doing now, I really like just thinking about it like a pilgrimage, like you said, Bev. I think that it actually helps to make thinking about a career actually a really, what's what I'm looking for, like a really fascinating journey as opposed to something that people dread, because sometimes it feels like it's so much pressure around, like, find out what career you're going to do, because I think the definition in society is a very kind of like one-stop shop, like, I found the one thing and I'm going to do that, whereas the way you are explaining and asking, it's about like seeing it as an evolution. So you might start here, but then you may go here. And it may all still be under the umbrella of a particular field or a craft or a theme. But I like that aspect of it being a journey because then you never get stagnant, no matter what job or, you know, wherever you are on your journey, you don't get stuck because you know you're making progress. To me, it just feels like it's movement that happens when you start to think about career as a journey versus just a destination.
And, you know, they say that we take ourselves wherever we go. So if you're in a career, you're taking whoever you are into whatever job, whatever position, whatever company, whatever environment, whatever relationship, you're taking it with you. You're taking yourself with you. So who are you and what is it that is driving you? What, you know, do you have a passion about something? Do you see something that every day keeps showing up that you know this is what you're destined to do? This is your purpose? And how do you make sure that you're on path? I told you earlier that I watched T.D. Jakes, and he talked about living on purpose. And he said that everything, your relationships, your business, your friendships, your entrepreneurship, everything needs to line up with your purpose. If it doesn't, then cut it off. We're back again, Phanisha, to choice. So determining what is your career path, you know, not letting someone determine for you, oh, you're a nurse, so that means that your career path is LPN, then RN, then BSN, and then a doctorate and so forth. What is your career path?
You know, that's interesting, though, with the last example you gave, because I wonder if people feel that they do have enough power and choice to define a career for themselves, because a lot of professions do follow a typical path, you know, and so that for someone to think outside of that path could be a bit scary. Now we're asking them to really take ownership over what they want to do.
Yeah, I was just going to say that it does feel like it could... it is daunting. But I think that that's when it makes it kind of a, especially if you're, so if you're currently in a job and you've been thinking about, or a career, and you're thinking about how to spice it up or what's the next part, it seems like a worthwhile pursuit. One thing, a story that I always, that just came to mind was Steve Jobs, who, you know, created Apple and made it what it is today. He actually was really fascinated in college with architecture, and I think he had a minor in architecture. And so now, you know, if you look at the products that he created and he helped Apple create, he actually used a lot of what he learned in that field in his products. So it was a way for him to, if he was kind of connecting those two things. And I wonder how he got to that, you know, to that point. But it's like they seemed unrelated, but when you look at his products, they are very, they're designed the same way an architect would design a building. So that just kind of came to mind. It's like how people can think about maybe connecting two things so that they can create their own path or career.
It's an internal look, too, at, you know, not only an internal look at what you enjoy doing or what gives you the most joy, but it's also a realistic look at what people compliment you on, what people come to you for, what people say they really see in you. I had someone say to me in a meeting, "You have such a calming spirit." Well, I almost laughed out loud because that is not what I feel. But it is what I give off to other people when there is a challenging situation. I am not a screamer, a hoop, or holler person. I am one who backs down and sort of settles in and kind of rides it out. You know, I get very calm about it, even though internally I may feel anger or hurt or some other emotion, but what I give off to other people, what they see, is a very calming spirit. And when people tell you what they see in you, you think about combining that with your passion, and that's where you start with, what is my career? You know, where is it I really am I destined to go, and where do I want to go?
And how it seems like it's start with their passion, though. I mean, how do you even get to that point of figuring out what your passion is? Like, I think about my cousin who went to college and she studied women's studies. Now, that was very seemingly out of the blue for her, or out of the box, rather, to study women's studies. But obviously there was some interest and some passion there. And now I watch her, like, a couple of years out of college, and still kind of struggling to figure out, oh, I don't know what I want to do. And it's like somewhere along the line, that passion or that drive, that interest was lost. So how do you get somebody to that point?
I think, and we're back to doing the work, I think it comes back to stepping out and looking at things that you normally would not see. You almost, because women's studies still is the road less traveled. So when you choose something that is the road less traveled, then you cannot go back on the main highway. You're going to have to stay on streets and look for something that is different. Something, and it may come, as much as we don't want to in this money-driven world, it may come down to volunteering for different places and finding something that matches. Mm-hmm. What happens is a lot of times you come out of school and you look for the job. This is what I majored in. I majored in communications. I'm looking for the job. Communications is, can be a noun, but it can communicate as also a verb. What are you looking for in communications? What is it about communications that interests you? And that's why coaches are good. Isn't that right, Phoenicia? Because, you know, I think a lot of the time when Phoenicia asks me questions and the mirror goes up, it's like, didn't I just ask for that question last month? But it is true that when people ask you questions, when you say women's studies, what is it about women that you want to study? What is it about women that you want to know? What is it you want to do for them? What will be the greater good in the work that you want to do? Are you looking to serve? Are you looking to start a foundation? Are you looking, what woman are you looking to help? The one who is abused, the one who is downtrodden, or the one who is who needs an assistant? There are so many avenues to take that a lot of times it's overwhelming because you don't know which one to choose.
Yeah, and I like how you sort of gave that plug for coaches, because people ultimately need to have some type of guidance. You're either going to be working mm-hmm. with a coach, a career counselor, a mentor, somebody who's already out in the industry that you want to get into, but people need to be thinking bigger than where they are, and a lot of times that takes having someone who's in a different position, who might have been there, or who has some type of expertise to guide you to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really about exploration. I think that especially in the age that we live in, because I feel like especially people who've gone to college, job security, things that maybe were there 10 years ago, even, you know, 5 years ago, is not there. So it's really calling on people in general to be very flexible, especially just with the economy being the way it is. But like you said, Bev and Phoenicia, seeing where your skill set or what you study can actually intersect with maybe a field that you didn't think it could intersect with. So I think that exploration piece is important on your own and, like you said, with guidance, because other people see things, you know, they see your blind spots, and so they can maybe see something about yourself that you can't see, or something about your degree that you can't see, or a job or a field that you can go into. So I think the biggest thing is making that choice to be flexible, and not be, you know, kind of have the blinders on, like taking the blinders off and seeing all the variety where you could fit in. Because I feel like when you start to open yourself up to that, opportunities start coming towards you, because you're not closed-minded and you're not closed off to different opportunities or a certain kind of job or anything like that. Like, I feel like that flexibility piece, especially in today's, like, economy and society, is, like, so important. Like, you have to be flexible, especially if you're in a field or in a career or job that maybe isn't stable, or have a degree that maybe you don't see how you can use it. Just that flexibility piece, choosing to be flexible as you kind of navigate your career journey and path, is really important.
I wonder if part of what keeps us from really traveling the road that we want to travel, or that we are destined to travel, does not go back once again to fear. Fear of success, fear of failure, fear of what people will say. Because when you choose something that everybody does not agree on or agree with, we often back away from it. And the minute we back away, we get stuck. And I heard our minister say today that we need to raise our level of expectation. When you know who you are and whose you are, your level of expectation should be higher, and you act accordingly. You speak positive about where you're going, what you want, what you see. You make sure that you don't let people who are not supporting you influence what you do, what you say, what you think, and where you go. It's being mindful all the time of what it is you are destined to do, your purpose to do. When you're in a career, it's interesting, when you're in a career on a job and you assume it's a career, and I'm going to go back to, say, being a career nurse. If you start out at working in a hospital and say, you know what, this is what I want to be, And the only level you ever see is that you want to be an RN, then you will never go for being a doctor. But if you don't go to school to be a doctor, do know that you're not going because you don't, that you're not going to go because you don't want to become a doctor, because you want to do what a nurse does. This is your skill set. This is your passion. This is what you really want to do, not because somebody said you couldn't do it. So I'm thinking that a career path is really studying who you are and being real sure and positive and coached and mentored into believing and doing what is really what you should be doing, where you should be going. And, yes, I did say should, Phoenicia, because the should is on you. It is not from somebody else. I think when we say what we should be doing, it is what we are called to do, rather, if we don't want to use the word should, because there is something, we are all destined to do something other than soak up the rays of sun and breathe in the air. There is something that we are to do, and what is that? And the sooner we focus on it and move in it, it doesn't get any easier, but it does help us maintain the focus. It does help us to walk straight. It does help us to talk straight. It does help us to weed out what does not belong. It does help us to say, I'm not taking that phone call because that's not in my purpose today. It helps us get clarity. So when you have a career, you are clear about where it is you want to go, where it is you are destined to go, where it is you feel you should be. And that's my story, uncut.
So it sounds like it's it takes some strategic planning, right? So someone is strategically planning out what they would like to do, but then also maybe staying open to greater possibilities that they might not have imagined, or they might not know exist, but at least having an idea of, like, this is the essence of the work that I want to do. This is the type of the role that I want to have in doing that work. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to lay out a plan of action, and I know I'm going to follow that plan, possibly making revisions right along the way.
And I think also, too, with that plan, is also thinking about how you want to feel. Because sometimes a person may say, I want to feel excited, or I want to feel calm, or I want to feel – so really to take into stock, like, how do you want to feel, and making sure that's aligned with the path that you take. Because sometimes we want to feel one way, but then the thing that we think we want, we have to just tweak it a little bit. Because you want to feel a certain way when you – go to work, when you volunteer, when you do something. So for some people, they want that prestige, so they'll go into a certain career. For other people, they just want to feel passionate when they get up in the morning. So I think a part of that plan is also strategically thinking about, when I go about my business and go about my day, what's the desire feeling that I want? Like, how do I really want to be feeling if I'm working 8 to 10 hours a day? Because I think that's important. You know, for some people, they want to feel secure. So for them, it may be more about finances. For other people, it's really about wanting to feel at peace. So they don't necessarily want a very busy work environment or a career that is very demanding in that sense. So I would also say to add that, too, to that strategic plan, like, what's your, like, how do you want to feel when you, in your career, whatever that looks like? Because I think how something makes you feel is also really, really important and something not to take, you know, for granted. Especially if it's something that is going to be worked, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to put.
I know that. Well, Deb, I want to hear your point. But I was just saying earlier that Abraham and Esther Hicks always, always say the most important thing is that you feel good in what you do. Mm-hmm. And so, Candace, what you said, there's so much power in that, and I think people might overlook that a lot. But if it doesn't feel good to you, then you can lose that purpose. All right, Beth, I'm turning it back over to you.
I want to put us on the spot because we're talking in the third person. Would you say that either of us has a career? And if so, what is it?
Beth, definitely. I'm glad we're turning it around and putting it on us because we've got a couple of guests on the line. And I just want to let everybody know that during the second half, we're going to open it up so we can talk to the guests. But we're going to make that transition with us. And so putting ourselves out there. And I, Tanisha, definitely have a career, probably not even one that I saw coming when I was younger. But ultimately, my profession is that of a teacher, and the career path that I've taken has put me in so many different roles that I've been able to redefine what a teacher means through all the roles I've been in.
That's good. I think for me, I am also a teacher, because in the same way, teaching has kind of been the web. It's kind of been the string through all of the different experiences I've had. But also, I'm a writer, which involves teaching, ironically enough. So I'm a writer and teacher because all the work that I do really centers around those two things, teaching and then writing, whether I'm writing songs or writing articles or writing e-books. And then the teaching component comes when I'm speaking to people, even with writing that I do. So I would say teaching and writing is that's my career path because everything seems to be coming right back to those two components for my life.
I would say that I was a teacher, except that I'm really starting to see that I am more a facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
Not only with relationships with people and helping people see where it is they want to go, helping them close the gap between where they are and their goals. I help facilitate that. But I also help facilitate conferences. I help facilitate just opening doors for people to see another perspective of something. So I think I am more of a facilitator than a teacher.
And I think it's really important for us to look at, you know, whatever we say we are, how has our career path allowed us to play that role? Because what it sounds like is that we're kind of defining these archetypes for ourselves, and I think that's ultimately what people probably want to do as a starting point. You know, like what is your archetype? Are you, so bad if you're this facilitator, how has that shown up for you in everything that you've done? Candace, teacher, writer, how has that shown up?
Mm.
Wow.
I know for me, just with the teaching, and this is like a shout out to all the teachers out there. So I started off as an elementary school teacher, and for a long time I didn't see how I could do teaching outside of being in a school. But now I'm seeing that being a teacher is such a huge field. But that's how I started. I started officially as, you know, going to school, getting a degree in education and in teaching. But then to find that we're all teaching, we're always learning, which then evolved into now teaching adults and helping adults learn and helping them learn how to be themselves. In the same way I was helping my students with math and reading and writing, I'm now, you know, helping adults to really step into being their highest and truest selves. And I'm still using a lot of skills that I use even with second graders. So for me, it's really cool seeing that correlation that, you know, I went to school and I learned all these skills and I still use them in the work that I do today. So it's not like all is lost from having started at that point as a teacher and now evolving into this point as a different kind of teacher to people.
It's interesting that you say you started out as an elementary school teacher. I bet, Candace, that you were a teacher even when you were playing as a child.
I was. My brother was my student, my first student.
Okay.
I was always in some. I always wanted to help people learn something.
Okay.
I did. So yeah, that thing was there before I even went to college. Yeah.
Mhm. So you have always been a teacher. That is in your nature. I have always been a facilitator, and my first job was school secretary, and it was to facilitate the best results needed or coordinate whatever needed to be done to get the school running well, to get the teachers in the classroom, to get the kids to learn. So it was a big picture, but it was always putting the little pieces together. That was my first job. My final job was facilitating conferences. Well, my last paying job was facilitating conferences at the YME National Breast Cancer Organization and facilitating workshops for people to be able to learn how to talk to other women who had breast cancer. So I have always facilitated, and that came as a young child. I was the oldest, so I was always facilitating and teaching my younger sister or my cousins or someone else. There was always that little something inside that moved me from childhood to adulthood, and that has been my career path. It has been in different environments, but the same skills, the same passion, the same gifts I use all the time.
Mm. I love that. So it's kind of like who we are is who we've always been. So when we talk to people and we're helping them figure out, you know, what's my career path, what's my purpose, you know, really just looking at who have you always been, what's been that thread throughout your life. I love that. I love that. All right, ladies, we have two guests that are online. I want to see who they are and who they've always been. So let's just start it with the commercial break. For those of you that are listening in, you can call us at 347-327-9281. And you can also chat with us online at blogtalkradio.com/makeitgreat. We're going to take a commercial break, and we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
She is understanding her core values. She is developing her sense of purpose. She is recreating her true self. She is enhancing the quality of her life. She is uplifting her, dedicated to the empowerment of women. Women who are seeking to experience more purposeful lives. Uplifting Her provides practical solutions for women to experience total healing, including intimate small group sessions, one-on-one private consultations, and life-changing workshops. Uplifting Her also provides healing and maybe a unique one of a group. Uplifting Her is dedicated to uplifting, well, you. Uplifting Her looks forward to serving you. Visit us online at upliftinghere.com or send us an email inquiry at info@upliftinghere.com. Uplifting Her. Get uplifted today.
Who is Candace Cole? I am a singer-songwriter and a storyteller. At the heart of all my work is encouraging and empowering people to fully express themselves without apology. The world is a much more beautiful and better place when you are fully being yourself. To find out more about all the work that I am doing, please visit www.playinginthelight.org.
I am great, not because someone told me, but because I believe. I believe in my abilities to achieve the impossible. I am strong beyond measure. I am smart without a doubt. High I will aim. Shout loudly I proclaim that I am great. I am great from my inner core. Deeply, I believe that no obstacle is too large, too much to overcome. I am a conqueror. Opposition I will slay, for this is the day I say that I am great. I am great. I know who I am. I stand tall and erect. Nothing intimidates me. From the moment I begin, I win. I am defined by greatness and nothing less. My only option is success. Action proves it best that I am great.
Yes, you are great.
You can choose to make it great. And welcome back to another Sunday edition of the Make It Great Show, Common Sense Connection. This Sunday, our theme is career. And so we've been talking during the first half of the show about just really figuring out what your career is, what that means, determining your purpose, your passion, how that all ties together. And during the second half, we want to make sure we open up the show to callers and to guests and just hear from you all. But we're going to continue the conversation. So I'm going to turn it back over to my sister friends, but namely I want Bev to kind of take the lead with this. Bev, when we last left off, you were helping us all share who we are and how that connects to our career path. Let's kind of pick that up, and then we have two guests online. So for those guests online, you know, if you have a question for us, you can go ahead and type it. You can also call in and talk with us live. But Bev and Candace, let's continue this conversation that we were having.
But before we continue, I just wanted to give a special shout out on, because I know that one of the callers is actually a young girl that I used to babysit for. She's in fourth grade, I think, Anna Sophia. And she's listening in with her mom, Patty. So I think it's actually really cool because it's a kid listening in with her mom, and we're talking about career and your purpose. So I just want to say hi to her because I know she's listening.
All right. Hey, thanks for listening. You know, it's interesting she's so young, fourth grade, because when we think about who we were as young people, we were really defining our careers back then. In the roles that we were taking on. Like Beth said, she was always a facilitator, being the sister in the family. Candace, you were always the one teaching. I was always being the ringleader of something, bringing people together for something, you know. And so it really starts when you're that young, when you're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, right?
Yeah.
It does. And I think a lot of times, it gets squashed if we don't see other people doing what we think it should look like, or when people say, girl, nobody does that, or you won't get no money making that, or you need to just go to college and get a degree because, you know, the economy is bad. You're not going to make any money. You need to get out there and support yourself. You know, we are our worst enemy a lot of times, not only for our children but for ourselves, because we want to hit that status symbol. We want to have the house and the husband and the kids and the car and the shoes and out to dinner and travel and so forth, and it's wonderful. But what is most important to you? We fail to prioritize what is really important. And even though a job says this is your career path, you will enter at entry level. When they tell you you enter at entry level, this is level 101, and you will make so much money. And then when you take a test or when you're approved by Mr. So-and-so or Officer such-and-such, then you will move to the next level, and they will have the career path mapped out for you. But that is not your career. That is a job. It is a job path. It is a work path. It is not your career path. Your career is what you take into it.
And I just love that you keep reiterating that, Bev, because I think that just makes career seem like such an expansive thing. Like it makes it feel just so much, because it is so much bigger, because the career, just from what I'm hearing you say, is really all about that calling, that destiny, that purpose, and that can be funneled into a variety of jobs. But I love just like redefining career as that calling, that thing that you've always had, that you were born with, that you just bring with you everywhere you go, no matter the situation. Like I just think that, to me, that's such a huge point. Because even reminding ourselves and our children, and just like, this is what a career really is. It's this journey, it's this pilgrimage, it's this calling, and you're going to do a bunch of jobs along the way, all under this big umbrella of a career. Like, I just love that we're redefining. I just feel like we're redefining what career means today, like on the, you know, on the show, which I think it's a huge point for people, because I've heard so many people, career is a very like stale term. You know, like they say, and it's like, you know, all about my career. And it's very sarcastic. It's not fun. It's not open. It's not abundant. It's just like, because I think people see it as just a job versus how you're defining career as something much bigger than a job, than just, you know, going into work, clocking in, and clocking back out.
Because if you say you have a career in human resources, if you have a career in human resources, that's more than a job. First of all, if you look at the language, teachers, think about it, human resources, how is that a job? If you're being a resource to humans, that has nothing to do with being a job. That has to do with you having a relationship with people and being a resource to help them in whatever environment you are working or whatever environment you are practicing. You could be a human resource by being an actress. You could be a human resource person by being a musician. You could be a musician by singing to children in St. Jude's Hospital. The minute you start defining yourself by a title means you have lost who you are.
Wow. Okay, so that is very interesting. That's kind of heavy. I think that's going to be another show topic.
Right.
Now we're getting into labels and discussions. Wow. But, you know, Bev, you said something very interesting a little while ago, and that is how you have to have people around you that are recognizing and supporting and reminding you of what your gifts are, especially at a young age, because there are people who can really determine how you feel about what it is you want to do. You know, suppose you have a teacher who tells you, you know, you can never do this because look at these grades are terrible, and you think you want to do this. You know, that can really affect a person's esteem if they're not truly confident in what their purpose is just yet. You know, I'll never forget in undergrad, I actually had a couple of professors tell me that I would never be a good teacher. And I was really baffled. I'm like, wow, you know. And sometimes I want to go back down there and just show them some of the comments and letters that I've gotten from students over the years and say, hey, I proved you wrong here. But, you know, you have to have people in your corner that recognize what you do and that uplift you.
I actually had a human resource person tell me that I would not get a particular position, that I was not qualified for it. And when I got the position, he was amazed. He, you know, it's like, you're not qualified, you don't have a degree, you're African-American, they've never had an African-American director, you know, you'll be going places where, and at this time, you know, where black people are not recognized and they won't accept you, and this is a pretty big organization, so they're going to ignore you. You won't have any power. I was with that company, with that organization, believe it or not, for about 7 years, 8 years. And I got that's the organization where I actually did get the awards for bringing them out of debt and for making sure that they were solvent.
Wow. And that just goes to show you when people, I think that sometimes when we get discouraged, especially when you're trying to get to another level or another step, or even as a young child, is like sometimes people are limiting you because they've been limiting themselves. So then you can be okay with that and know that it has nothing to do with your limitations, because like you said, Bev, he might not have seen that you were qualified, but you were clearly qualified, and look at what you did for the company as a result of not accepting what he saw as limitations on you, which were maybe limitations he had on his own self that had nothing to do with you. So I think it's so important for people to realize, too, like, hey, if you feel something calling you or pushing you, just because other people may not see that, it's one, realizing that sometimes they're limited in their thinking, and then finding people who aren't, like Phoenicia said, finding people who actually really do support you. Because it's amazing how you get around people who are, like, forward thinkers, and all of a sudden it's like you start seeing things and getting opportunities because now everyone's in your corner. And then if you get with people who aren't in your corner, they'll see the same exact situation and say, well, don't do that, or I don't see how you. So it could be the same exact situation, and two groups of people or two people can see it so different, which then changes, like, the steps that you take towards a particular job or a particular field. And then even with Nisha, like, someone saying you want to be a good teacher, it's like, what? Because I've seen you teach, you know, like, what? Who would say that? But I think it's important for people to realize, like, just go get the support. You know, go to places that support you. And those people who maybe have limiting thoughts, don't take it personal, because usually it's more about a limitation they have on themselves and not necessarily with you, like, personally.
And if there is a way to distance yourself from them, do so. And that is, now you talk about work, that there are some people, because they may even be family members, it is difficult to distance yourself from people who have been around you a long time and assume that they know you. Well, I know you. There's no way you could accomplish that. There's no way you could be a Maya Angelou. I mean, she's the ultimate writer. There's no way you could be that good.
Right.
It's not in your destiny to be Maya Angelou. Maya is Maya. Candace is Candace. And knowing that Candace is good at what she does and she can do more and expect more and be more is to support Candace, not to bring her down to say that she's not as good as someone else.
Mhm. Yep. And like you said, and being around people who celebrate you, who celebrate your talent, who celebrate your passion. And I'm going to shout her out again because she got excited. So Anna Sophia's in school. And, you know, kids say things like, why would you want to have this or do that, or you can't do that? Yes, you can. And then you find other friends who can help you see, like, you know, I can be the writer or the dancer or the, you know, the movie star. So even for especially for young girls in school, sometimes, it can be difficult because they, you know, you're in groups with groups of girls who, you know, kind of make you feel a certain way, but realizing, like, I'm confident, this is what I do, and just finding people who really love and support it. Because I feel like it also starts when you're so young, because we all said how we saw this in ourselves when we were younger, you know, like facilitating and teaching and all of that, and just how important it is for young girls to feel empowered, you know,
but
like, yeah, I can be this.
I had supportive parents. I think that makes a difference.
A big difference.
But once you get in school, a lot of times girls can be mean. That's, you know, you're too dark, you're too fat, you're, you know, you don't have this, you don't live there, you know, so that if you're in a clique or a group of girls that are always demeaning your gifts and your talents and your skills, you need to find a way to be with people who know and love and support you.
Mhm. The support piece is so big.
Mhm. I will tell you that even as an adult, that what I am finding, you know, people can always amaze you. What I am finding is that the people who were my friends when I was independent and did not have my husband to take care of, when I could go and pick them up and go to shows and go out of town and, you know, have a girls' day and stay out and go to plays and musicals and dances and parties and so forth, they would call me often. But now that I have to plan 1 to 2 weeks in advance to find someone to take care of him or may not be able to go, a lot of times I do not hear from them, but maybe once or twice a month. And these are adult women. Because I cannot do for them, they cannot or will not do anything for me, not even in giving me moral support.
And so how do you choose to what's the choice that you make in that, Beverly? Just for somebody who's listening, how can we empower them? You know, when you look at yourself and your relationships with those people, what choices are you making?
The choice that I make is that I am not available as often, not even to talk. Caller ID is a wonderful thing. And depending on who I'm talking to or what I'm doing or how I'm feeling or where I am mentally and spiritually, I may take a call or I may not. I make choices now, more choices now about who I talk to and how often I talk to them.
I'm wondering too, for people who are listening, and maybe this is I'm jumping into the solutions and tips too early, but how people can find support, or some ways that people can, creative ways that people can find support as they start to really uncover what, you know, the work that they want to do and maybe transitioning into a certain job or into a career, like what, you know, maybe things that we've personally done to get that support that you need to, you know, to make your way in on your journey, especially as it pertains to your career, if anybody wanted to share a question.
Yeah, no, I think
this is right
on
time. Support, like where to find that support, because it seems like the crux of with career is finding people who support you as you start to transition and start to figure out your passions. Like, it seems like that's a huge component, that if you can find that, then you can really be on your way.
Yeah, I think the first step is to, one, trust and know that the people that you need in your corner are going to be out there. And so you probably want to start off by identifying not only people that can be supportive, but also a mentor. And that mentor will probably be someone who's already in the type of work that you want to do, someone that you admire. When you look at them, you say, you know what, that person models success. I respect what they do, and I admire that. And how do you do something like that, though? Beverly mentioned earlier, you know, just getting out and maybe volunteering with an organization,
mm-hmm.
but you got to be where the people are in order to meet the people.
Yeah.
And it may not look like you thought it would. When I had breast cancer, I got information about what to do and questions to ask from the Wyoming National Breast Cancer Organization. And what I decided was that after my treatment, I was going to give them some time. I was going to volunteer some of my time because I wanted African-American women to know that because we have breasts, we are susceptible to breast cancer. And at that time, you did not see a black face talking about breast cancer. You just didn't. So I wanted to be on the phone as an African-American counselor to other African-American women about what to do, how to be treated, you know, how to process what they needed to know, what questions they didn't know that they needed to ask. And in doing that, I went on in February as a hotline counselor, volunteering. By April, I was hired as a part-time counselor. Mm-hmm. By July, I was director of chapter services.
That's such a good point that you bring up, Bev, about with the volunteer work, how it can lead to a job. Because I was a solution, a tip that I was going to give to people is to go to something like meetup.com and find people who are interested in something you're interested in. I was interested in storytelling and was able to do an internship, a volunteer internship once a week, which has now led to paid opportunities for me to work with this storytelling organization. And it's a bunch of writers and teachers. So that was another thing I was going to say is, like you said, you – in doing the volunteer work, it can actually open up to job opportunities because it's also networking and as well. So just finding different interest groups, whether that's, like you said, something like breast cancer, something that you've experienced, or just the interest that you may just have always had but never pursued, like, you know, art history, you know, or anything, or dancing, or just, you know, meetup.com, you can find a lot of different just general interest groups where it's just a lot of different people coming together.
Phoenicia
is still here, and I think that's great. But, Beth, did you have a question?
Yes, I did. One of the organizations that you belonged to for so long and that you were active in that always piqued my interest, but I never got a chance to actually join it, was, now you know I forgot it just that fast, where you were doing the presentations.
Toastmasters. Yes, yes. And, you know, and there's so many good organizations mm-hmm. out there. And I think people need to start off by seeking one that would really meet their needs. You know, when I first graduated from undergrad and moved back to the city, immediately I just knew, like, I want to have a network in Chicago of women, because I wasn't still clear at that point on what my career path was going to look like. But I knew my passion. Remember, we talked about passion and purpose earlier. And so I intentionally sought out women's organizations, and that's when I connected with my sorority, connected with sisterfriends.org. When I connected with Toastmasters, I was at the point in my career where I said, you know what, I want to take the work that I do and really refine it. I want to get good and polish the presentations and the talks that I do, whether I'm in front of students or in front of a large audience. And so Toastmasters was an organization that I sought out. And sometimes people don't even know where to start. Mm-hmm. Someone had mentioned Toastmasters to me like 10 years prior to that, and I had forgotten all about it up until that point. So really that's, you know, when we get out there and we start talking with people, you know, really just talk and find out what people do, and that'll lead you to other organizations.
Yep. Google is a really wonderful thing. That's how I found the organization that I volunteer with to learn more about story development. I literally just typed in Chicago storytelling, and then Second Story came up, and they needed volunteers to help with story development. So just like you said, just kind of even just doing a random Google search of your city and your interests, it'll really turn up some really cool things related to your passions and your purpose and your calling.
And we don't want to leave out all of the different testing that you can do to, if you're really not sure where your skills and talents are. A lot of them, you know, will say, poo-poo, that just can't be me. But there are a lot of tests that you can take, and it will show up, you know, whether you're type A or type B. You don't use that solely for determining your destiny, but a lot of times it will help you figure out if you're on the right track. I took one at my church, and it was for teaching, and it showed pastor, and I'm like, pastor, what is that? There's no way I'm ever going to School of Divinity, you know, that I'm not going to the pulpit. But I realized that pastor is only the title of someone who comforts people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, it doesn't mean that I have to be a pastor in a pulpit. It simply means that when I meet people, they feel that I am communicating with them on the level that they need to be communicated with, and that I am comforting them. It is a pastoral role without being a pastor, and it does fit into who I am.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Now, Bev, I kind of chuckle when I hear that, because I always say, I'm going to get you a pulpit one day. That's what resonates for me. I love it. Let's go ahead and wrap up, ladies. Let's just do a shout-out for announcements or anything that's coming up. We've got about a minute left on the air. What's going on in you all's world?
Well, I just recently launched a new offering on my website, playinginthelight.org, for entrepreneurs who are looking for theme songs and original music. So if you know any entrepreneurs out there who are adding video to their website, I can write them a original song for them to use for all their branding and their promotional videos and all that stuff. So I just launched that last week, and you can find that information at playinginthelight.org.
Well, I've decided that I don't really like technology that much, and I've not updated my website, but I am enjoying, believe it or not, Phoenicia, I am enjoying From Mama's House on Facebook. Not my BJ Rogers section, but from Mama's House. And what I do is I go on at least once or twice a day, and I will put on either a saying or a question or something that's common sense or a picture or something. And that works for me because that is my pulpit, to come out with a question or something that helps people see where I am and perhaps connect them to where they are. So if you would like me on From Mama's House on Facebook, I would really love it.
Fantastic. And you all can check out Phoenicia.com. We'll see you next Sunday. Thank you for taking time to make it great.